Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Chris Voss. I work for the Microsoft Corporation, where I am the worldwide director of our SAP Alliance. I'd like to welcome you to this session this afternoon, where we're going to talk to you about how we're helping customers transform their business with Microsoft and SAP. I'm super excited for this session today, and I don't mean that in the way that every speaker ever always says, "I'm excited to be here." I actually mean it in the way that I'm really excited to be here because we're going to get to show you some things today that we've been working on for more than a year. And when you're working really hard on something and you know it's going to be something that drives customer value, you want to be able to talk about it. And we haven't really been able to talk about much of what we've been doing so far. And so for today, we're going to have our first sneak peek at some of the great things that are coming down the pipe. And for that reason, we truly are excited. We're going to have two different groups of presenters come up to talk about two different but related topics. So we'll bring them up in just a minute. But first, I wanted to address one question that I get all of the time. And it's, "Hey, wait a minute, Microsoft, SAP, I thought you guys were competitors. Why is SAP even here? What is your partnership all about?" So I wanted to frame the conversation a little bit about the partnership. And actually, 2014 marks the 20th year of our strong partnership. We're actually so excited about our 20th anniversary, if you will, that we have a great 20th anniversary party tonight in Vegas. And I'll give you a little secret here. If you stay to the end of the presentation, we'll give you all the details for the party, as well as how to get into the party. So if you enjoy having fun at super cool clubs in Vegas, you might want to stick around and be here at the end. But what have we been doing for those 20 years? Well, we've been helping customers be successful. And most of the focus in the early years certainly was around the platform, the application platform and the infrastructure. As a matter of fact, we have more than 35,000 customers that trust their SAP applications to a Microsoft infrastructure. I'm talking about Windows Server and SQL Server. But we also have an increased number of customers that are really looking to integrate their SAP system and their Microsoft front end to even get more business value out of it. And why would they do that? Well, if you think about a lot of the conversations people have been having about systems of engagement and systems of record and what that means and how you get value bringing them together, well, obviously, Microsoft Office is the world's largest, most popular business system of engagement. And SAP Business Applications are the world's largest, most popular mission-critical business applications. And so there's a lot of value that you can get from bringing those together. Typical things that our customers achieve certainly are around a lower TCO. If we can make it easier for that integration to happen in a standardized way, that helps the TCO number. Certainly around business agility. This is a conversation that I know every CIO in the world is having with their business leaders about how can you respond more quickly to the business changes that we are facing every day. And then, of course, the third one is around increased user productivity. The SAP data and the processes are super valuable, but they're only valuable if you can get them to as many employees as possible and make it super easy to interact with that data and those processes. So the more we can help customers do that, the more value we will drive through that productivity. We're also working closely together to engage and educate our ISVs and our SI community. We looked a couple of years ago and realized, hey, SAP's top SIs and ISVs are really our top SIs and ISVs. So let's reach out together and educate them and enable them. And I know we have some of them in the room here today, so thank you for coming. But we want to make it easier for them to go out to their customers and help drive the value through the innovations that we're going to be talking about today. So that's a little bit in the last 20 years. What are we doing in 2014 and beyond? Well, like every big company, we each have our own set of priorities, especially priorities in the enterprise space. And here on this slide, you can see some of Microsoft's top priorities in the enterprise space on the left and some of the SAP top priorities on the right. And we spend a lot of time mapping these priorities to see where it makes sense for us to work together. And something fell out of that process, and we found four core pillars where we really think that we can work closely together to drive incremental business value for our customers. Certainly the first one, interoperability, what I was just talking about with the system of engagement and the system of record, and making those two worlds come together in a seamless, repeatable, secure way is super important to us and something we'll be talking about today. The second one is around mobility and industry applications. Last week at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, we actually showed some of the latest and greatest SAP applications that are now available on the Microsoft Windows mobile platform. There's over a dozen that are available now, and there are more coming. So we're super excited about helping customers expose their SAP mobile apps and their data and their processes through a Microsoft mobile platform in a secure way. The third one is the cloud, and the cloud's a big topic, but we'll have more to share on this particular one in the coming months. But needless to say, helping customers maximize the access to their data, leveraging the assets of both Microsoft and SAP through the cloud is super important for us and something we're focused on. And then the fourth pillar is the pillar that we've been working on the longest, and this is really around the platform and infrastructure. But this goes beyond simply Windows Server and SQL Server and having a great on-prem platform. It really goes into the space of BI as well. And for those of you who have SAP installations, you know about the power of the Business Objects BI platform, and most SAP customers rely on that. But as you saw in Julia White's keynote this morning in her demo, Microsoft is also investing a lot in our Power BI capabilities. And so many customers wake up in 2014 and years ago already saying, how can I maximize the value? I've made a big investment in Business Objects. I've made a big investment in Microsoft BI. Wouldn't it be great if it was a little easier to make those two worlds come together? And that's what our first topic is about today. So I'm excited to bring on to stage Aaron Kelly, the general manager of our SQL Server business at Microsoft, and Jane Landry, the global vice president and general manager of the BI business at SAP, to tell us more.
Thanks, Chris.
You bet.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks.
So let's start by talking about some of the major trends that we're seeing in the marketplace today that are driving the need for analytics. The first is data. And the amount of data in the world is rapidly changing. In fact, the amount of data in the world is now doubling every 18 months. And if you look at certain industries like utilities, that rate of data growth is even faster. I was working with a utility company in Canada last year, and they said, data doubling every month, we've just increased our data volumes by 3,000 times. Because we've gone from someone coming to your house once every 2 months to read your meter to installing smart meters at every household and every business. And we now collect data from every household once every hour and every business every 15 minutes. And now have to think about what are we going to do with all of this data. So this data is coming from machine to machine data, and it's coming from unstructured data sources like social media, Twitter, Facebook as well. And so the first challenge is how do you get your arms around all of this data? And then the second major trend we're seeing is around people. Aaron, what are you seeing on the people side of things?
Yeah, thanks, Jane. So when we think about consumerization of IT is a phrase that we've used over the last couple of years to really talk about a lot of changes in the marketplace. One of the most common, of course, is the explosion of number of devices per employee or per user. That typical scenario, of course, is you're bringing your personal device into work, and on that personal device, you want access to data and information about the company. It's also about social graph that Jane discussed. But what we're also seeing is not just those effects, but also the impact on user expectations, especially in the area of data. Users expect a lot more out of their data systems than they've gotten because they're getting it in their consumer world. I can go on Bing today and I can search how many zebras are in Africa and I can get an answer. It's very difficult for many employees of an organization to go search on their intranet site, how many versions of product X did I sell in Africa last month? That's a much harder thing to do. And users are getting those expectations from their consumer lives. So IT needs to invest, and they are. In fact, Gartner just stated recently that by 2015, organizations that invest in a modern information management system will see financial results 20% better than their competitors. And McKinsey agrees. They did a similar study that says organizations that invest in BI and business analytics will see a much higher return on equity than those that don't. So it's really, really a critical part of investment. So Jane, how do organizations take advantage of these trends in data to help reimagine their business?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's four key things that we're seeing customers doing to help drive this transformation and help them to reimagine what they're doing within their business. And the first is identifying the opportunity with data. I was with a customer last year who's one of the world's most recognized names in sporting apparel. Household name, you've probably all got some of their gear in your drawers at home. And they were saying, you know, you'd expect with a company of our size, we would know where all of our data is and we'd have it all cleansed and brought together. But they were recently working on a project, and as part of that project, they found one of the key data sources that they needed was literally sitting on a box under someone's desk. And so identifying where that data is just even the first step in that journey. And once you've identified where all those data sources are, how do you start to bring them together? So you can understand what's happened, which is kind of looking in the rearview mirror, but also looking forward through the windshield to understand what's happening right now and what's going to happen next. And the reality is, as you mentioned, Erin, that most of us, you know, we've got our iPhones. I don't even need to know what city I'm in. I can pull up a map and pull up a Bing map and say restaurant, and it'll pull up all the restaurants around me. But when you step into the workplace, we don't have that same access today. In fact, Gartner says that less than 10% of us have access to the information we need in our jobs today. But the expectation is that that number's going to grow to 75% by 2020.
Right, and it's not just about identifying that information, Jane, as you said. It's also about making it interactive. You know, one of the classic problems that I hear about when I talk to customers in this space is what I'll refer to as the BI treadmill. And the BI treadmill goes like this. The business comes to IT and says, hey, I need a revenue report. So IT goes off and creates a nice static revenue report. The business says, ooh, that's good, but I'd like to see revenue by product and by geography. Well, they hand that requirement back to IT. IT goes off, creates another static revenue report with that detail. And of course, the business says, ooh, that's good, but can I now see this cut by partner type, by discount level, by promotion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the days of static reporting are, as important as they are, they're really starting to fade away because users want to interact with the data. They want to slice it, and they want to dice it, and they want to interact with it. Because when they do so, they learn a lot more from the data. They find new insights that move the data forward, business forward, and it's a lot more fun. And when something's fun, employees are going to engage in it a lot more than when it's not.
Mm-hmm. And the next step is really to then empower those employees. It's really interesting. I've been working with BI for about 12 years now, and when I started, we really didn't think of it as mission critical. But some of the use cases that we're seeing today are really changing the way that we think about analytics. A great example of this is one of our partners who's built a solution that provides all the tracking of 911. So when you call into 911 and you ask for police or fire or ambulance and they dispatch a vehicle to you, they can track that vehicle as it's on its way to your door in real time. But they're not just stopping there. They're now wanting to empower those individual emergency responders so that when that fire truck pulls up at the fire and the firefighters spread out, who's outside the building? Who's inside the building? If they're inside the building, do they need help? So actually empower those individual emergency responders to better manage the situation and ultimately save lives.
It's really incredible stuff. So far we've talked about the impact on employees of an organization, but it's also really important to use data to engage your customers. Maybe it's a personalized email to them based on some purchases they've just made, or it's giving your support staff a good idea of which services a customer has when they call with a problem so you can immediately start to address their needs. Or it's even about being more competitive in the marketplace. One of our customers is an ISV that provides solutions for online retailers. And this company, EdgeNet, takes advantage of our data platform to provide dynamic pricing for their customers. So you have a scenario where, let's say you have a national provider of auto parts, as an example, and they want to have competitive pricing in every region of the country. Well, in the auto parts business, there are regional providers, small mom and pop shops, that may do discounts on a given weekend or during a given week. And this national retailer wants to be able to respond not only to those local shops, but also to other national competitors. Well, by having a system that allows them to do personalized and dynamic pricing, they can respond to the discounts in Chicago or the promotions in Atlanta and deliver dynamic pricing to users, which allows them to become a lot more competitive. And that really allows them to engage their customers now. And by engaging customers, they become more competitive. So these are some of the customer stories. What are some others, Jane?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to see all these different use cases across all the different industries. And that we talked about, Erin, right there, about bringing customers and IT together to have that conversation, I think is really key. Mm-hmm. eBay calls it the Petri dish approach, where they'll bring together a small but diverse set of people across the organization, IT and line of business users, but they also go beyond that to say, who's that business user's customer? Who's the customer's customer? And that's where we're seeing some of the most transformational results. A great example of that is a company called Energy Cybernetics out of South Africa. And what they've been doing is, we talked a bit earlier about utilities, they're actually monitoring the grid now in real time. And in South Africa, they have situations where they see immense surges in power and have whole cities like Johannesburg literally blacked out. So what they've done is they're now monitoring the grid in real time, and they've teamed up with the local TV station. And so when they start to see that surge in power, they literally put a trailer across the screen that tells everyone in Johannesburg to start turning off any unused appliances. And by engaging their citizens in that conversation, they're actually able to completely avoid blackouts now within those various towns.
Yeah, that's a great example. You know, there's some others that are maybe a little bit more horizontal or typical. We've got a joint customer, actually, Merck, in the pharmaceutical industry, who was really struggling with getting employees to engage with, you know, sort of typical internal tasks like expense reporting, things like that, because the tool set that they were providing employees was complex and unfamiliar. And so by creating a better connection between the data that was living in process in SAP and tools that were familiar to the users like Excel and Office, they significantly increased employee engagement on things like expense reporting. To increase that engagement to about 90%, and they're finding that they're going to save the company $12.5 million through more accurate expense reports, better interaction with employees on these tools. So this whole notion of making it easy for employees to engage with data and information through the tools that are familiar is incredibly powerful. So how is SAP addressing this opportunity? There's a lot of spend here. There's a lot of need. What are the key things SAP is doing?
So SAP's key offering in this space is the SAP Business Objects BI solutions. And the first part of that is to be able to bring individuals and data and processes together. Now, SAP, about 60% of the world's business transactions are going through an SAP system today. So the likelihood is that SAP will be one of your data sources. But on the business object side of things, we've always said we've never met a data source we didn't like. And we support over 160 different types of data that you can bring together, start to get some trust around that, and then deliver that to your business users. So once you've got that complete view of the business, the second piece is the semantics around it. So taking numbers and turning them into business-friendly terms, like customer or supplier or inventory, so that business users can use that information effectively for decision-making. And then the third piece is around trust. With the Business Objects BI platform, you can bring together these data sources. It can be managed by IT. It can be effectively governed. And so that information can get that IT stamp of approval as a trusted data source. And on the left there, you'll see that while SAP, 80% of Fortune 500 companies are using SAP Business Objects today, it's not just for the large organizations, it's for companies of all sizes. You can start small and grow as your business needs grow, starting with 10 users to 1,000 to 10,000 users to millions of users. So, Erin, what's happening on the Microsoft side of the house with Power BI?
Sure. So, at Microsoft, when you typically think about BI, you think about Excel, you think about SharePoint, you think about SQL Server. And that's how we've traditionally addressed the space. But the challenge we've heard from our customers, and I'm sure it's folks in the room here, is around, great, in order to get the best from Microsoft BI, I have to have the latest version of SQL, I have to have the latest version of SharePoint, I have to have the latest clients deployed, I've got to make sure it's all up and running and integrated. And that was a challenge. And so what Power BI does, and we just released it last month, and we saw a demo this morning in the keynote, is it brings together the best of Excel, SharePoint, and SQL Server, delivers it all, latest versions, as an integrated service, as really an add-on to SharePoint Online and Office 365. And the goal here is to make it easy for organizations to get up to speed in minutes instead of months, and deliver great analytics within Excel, the tool that's familiar to a billion users around the world, yet share and collaborate with SharePoint and Line in Office 365. So we're really excited about this new service as a way of bringing BI to the masses. But as much as you're seeing success with business objects, as we're seeing success with Office 365, we still hear a lot of challenges. And one of the first challenges that I hear all the time is, hey, guess what? We don't have a homogeneous environment. We've got a heterogeneous environment. We've got different systems, and it's really hard for us to get access to data across all these systems and share it.
Yeah, we hear the same thing too. And we also hear that all of you are being asked to do more with less. IT budgets are getting constricted year after year, additional cuts, and customers want to leverage their existing investments and make those dollars that they do have extend as far as they can possibly go.
And users, you know, every employee in an organization makes a decision or two over the course of the day, and they'd really like to have data to help inform all those decisions. Employees that can make decisions informed by data, they're going to make better decisions, and their companies are going to be more profitable and more competitive. That's really a key problem that we hear time and time again.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, we've found as IT makes that shift to enabling end users to self-serve, that the relationship between IT and the business really changes. Mm-hmm. IT goes from being a service provider, answering those ad hoc requests, to becoming much more of a strategic business partner. Mm-hmm. And then across all of these things, the key thing that you've told us is simplify. We're trying to simplify our landscapes. Microsoft and SAP, what are you guys doing to make your products work together to help us with simplification? And so today, we're really excited to be announcing that next step in that simplification.
Right. And so it starts on the Microsoft side with Power BI and Excel and Office. So that's where the users live today.
And then on the SAP side of things, bringing together that SAP data with other data sources through SAP Business Objects BI.
Now, historically, we've addressed this with Duet Enterprise. And that was helpful. It definitely helped with some scenarios. But it didn't really get into the heart of the BI scenario, where an individual user wants to be able to interrogate the data, understand the underlying model, and interact with it. In addition, they wanted to get more of that business process out of their SAP systems and to deliver it to end users in tools that are familiar. So we want to talk about both of these areas through the course of the session. We're going to start in the area of BI. And so we're very excited to kind of talk about one of the announcements here today are in this area. And again, it's going to start with Microsoft and Excel and Power BI, the environment that users live and breathe every day.
And then bringing that together with real-time trusted information with Business Objects BI. So today, we're very excited to announce the first public preview of Power BI connectivity for Business Objects BI. You can now bring your Business Objects universes into Power Query for Excel and bring live universe data into Power BI.
Yeah, this is a great new solution that allows organizations to see that single version of the truth in the tools that's familiar to their end users so they can self-serve and interact with the data. And because it's a tool that they're familiar with, they're going to be instantly productive. This is, again, a very familiar environment, and we've seen users who are using those tools can be productive right away. And then, of course, it's optimized for return on investment. You take advantage of your existing investments in both software and skills around business objects, as well as your existing investments around Excel and Power BI.
So, Aaron, rather than us continue to talk about it, why don't we show it? Let's invite Terry and Sanjay up onto the stage and actually give everyone a demo.
That's a great idea. Guys, take it away.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. So my name is Terry Penner. I'm part of SAP BI product team based out of Vancouver, and my friend here from Microsoft, Sanjay Soni, from also Microsoft Product Group. We're really excited to be here today. This has been a long time coming. Our development teams have been working together very hard. I think this has generated more emails in my inbox than pretty much any other project and conference call over that length of time. So we're great to finally show you the results of all of this. So as I mentioned, this is built directly into the two products. So this is a core feature of SAP Business Objects BI 4.1, and it's a core feature of Power BI. So that means that our two development teams will continue to enhance this solution. So what you'll see today in the demo is just the start. You'll be able to support more data sources, there'll be better interoperability, and we're really excited to bring that to you over the year.
You can talk about three, 4 more minutes. We need some setup time.
So Sanjay's just getting the demo set up. So just a few words about this. So I do have colleagues from Paris, from Vancouver, from Palo Alto, and from Redmond who are working on this. As I mentioned, it is the core development teams who are working on this. So right now, just a little bit about the technical side of it. So you do need to be on SAP Business Objects 4 to take advantage of it, but then any data source that's a relational data source will work with it. So this means any of the data sources you're currently using with Web Intelligence, with Crystal Reports, all of these can be brought in live and refreshable from Power BI. So we've worked very hard to make this a native Excel experience. So we really want this to feel like it's any other Excel data source. It's just coming from an SAP backend. And I think it looks like Sanjay is about ready to start here.
Any
so
question? You want to do questions?
He's just about to log
any
in.
Any questions in the meantime? Before we
show? Keep you on your toes there, Sanjay.
Keep it on the toes there.
Your username and password there.
So we'll just give it a minute here for the demo to come up.
You don't ask them any questions in the meantime. 2 more minutes.
2 more minutes?
Yeah. 2 more minutes.
Any questions they have or something?
No. So I think one of the things to highlight, too, about this is this notion of allowing end users to interact directly with the BobJ universe. And I think in the past, what we've seen customers do is move data around and maybe take snapshots of the data, but not live feeds of it. And I think that's one of the big differences with the solution today is that ability to reach directly into the BobJ universe and interact with the actual data itself.
One of the other things about this demo I want to emphasize is what we'll be showing you today are the same bits that you can download in a preview version. So we'd really love to get your feedback for you to try it out on your business object system. A couple of my colleagues and I will stay around afterwards. If you'd like to get involved with our technical preview program, we'd love to hear from you as well. We do have a number of customers engaged in that program right now, but there's always room for a few more. We're particularly interested in getting feedback from business users. Like I mentioned, this needs to be a great solution for business users to get access to that trusted data in the tool Excel that they know and love. So please come by and talk with us, and we'd love to connect more with you. All of us will be at the party this evening at 9 o'clock. So if you want to have a talk over a couple of drinks, that also will work. So with that.
Awesome. Yes, I'm good.
Sanjay's good
all
to
right.
go.
Thanks for your patience. So
we'll get this show on the road here, and I'll push the magic button.
Sure.
And
we'll wait.
Ta-da. Uh-oh. The IT demo gods are not happy.
No, it should be good.
Okay.
It should be good.
I used to work in IT, and they said it works better if you plug it in. So
right.
There we go.
Awesome. Here we go.
Okay. Sandy,
thank
take
you
a,
for that.
Oh, no. We lost it?
Hold on.
I moved, but that was the problem.
We'll do it.
Don't move, Terry.
There we go.
Okay. That's good. All right. So thanks for your patience. So as Terry said, I'm Sanjay Soni. I basically used to be in Microsoft IT for the longest number of years. And then we had this business called incubation sales business. So we used to sell, you know, Windows Azure, parallel data warehouse. Obviously, all the selling that happens, where do you think that gets stored? The data gets stored into? SAP, right? So we have Microsoft Sales Data Warehouse. We have opportunities. Now, what if we could empower those millions of users? So what the demo I'm showing you is really from Microsoft Sales scenario. We have masked the data, and we have built some other additional data sets. So on top of it, we are importing some other data sets from HD Insight. And you know, so here we are. Inside of SAP, we have this business objects universe, as you mentioned. Inside of that universe, we have the whole schema and everything. We can browse through the reports. But what if we could really enable this BI inside of Excel for all those power users that exist? Now, I have a question for you. How many of you use Excel? Of course. I was trying to, you know, just ask a question. But then well, how many of you have heard about this tool called Power Query? It's an awesome add-in inside of Excel 2013 with which you can really search world's data, bring all this data together from unstructured, structured data sources into one. Today, I'm going to focus only on this SAP add-in that we have, which is really exciting, SAP Business Objects BI Universe. So if you get this from other sources, click on this, and here you're simply going to enter the server name, so which I'm going to type in front of you. This is what I was testing, you know. Microsoft-BI, colon, 6044, Christoph? 6405. And then forward slash. So basically all we are doing is simply connecting to the universe, which happens to be on the server, and click OK. So now what happens is it's really connecting to the universe and shows me the BI semantic model from Business Objects Universe right here in Excel. What do you think so far? I was trying to get some.
Good. There you go. Get a pause then.
So far, so good, right? We are in Excel, and here's a business power user who's really trying to get into this data set. So in this scenario, I really want to see, you know, my business problem is that I have lots of opportunities for these products, but I'm not getting enough sales. Have you seen those scenarios? Lots of opportunities, not enough sales, not enough money coming. So we really want to find out what's happening. So in this data is from SAP, from our sales scenario. So days and stage, revenue, expenses. I go to another dimension for channel. Let's see what channels we are using here. And then also, we're going to go inside of this into my product subcategory. This demo scenario is from gaming products, right? For example, Xbox products we have, right? So game console, and we really don't have enough. So once we do this, I'm just going to scroll down, and you'll see a couple of things. When you hover over this, you'll be able to see the data that we have. You can really, you know, click on these things and literally see, okay, what data set are we going to import before you import. Now, you notice this, if you select this, edit. I think this is one of the best features that Terry really, really wanted me to show, and I'm going to, which is right here. And this is all about the filtering that happens, that you can do. So there we are. So I'm going to scroll up. So you may have millions of rows of data here. You don't want to import everything. So literally here you can do filtering, a split column, normal ETL, small ETL things for power users. So power users can literally remove errors. I want this column, that column. They can do filtering here and simply say, hey, I really want to import only this data. Why is that important? You don't want to have millions of rows of data unnecessary. So here we are, I'm doing able to do filtering, all this good stuff, and then apply and close. So now this data is ready for me to import. So I'm going to now select load to worksheet, load to data model. Any guesses on how many rows we can fit into Excel maximum?
1 million.
1 million, right? Well, guess what? Inside of Power Pivot, I have done models with 100 million plus rows with no issues. So there's an add-in called Power Pivot. I don't know if you're using it. Really awesome. And that's in-memory BI. So literally you can import millions of rows of data now. No issues with that. And this data can be imported inside of Excel. Now let me quickly show you this Power Pivot. I'm going to spend 30 seconds on this. But this is really, really important. Because in this demo, remember this data is all in here. But let me just show you the full model. We spent some time. We imported this data from SAP. But guess what? We're not doing good in our sales. We have to find some other information. Why are we not doing so good? So we actually went to Twitter Analytics, and basically using our SD Insight in Windows Azure, we did some analysis. What are people tweeting about? How are our sales doing in Florida versus California? What are they saying? Positive, negative sentiment. So we got all this data together, and here you can have 100 millions of rows, no issues. Then we did some analysis and visualizations. What I'm showing you is something in Power View, Power Pivot. You know, you can literally see how is my hardware, software. You know, you've seen all this good stuff, right? Moving bubbles. But let me take you into one of my other exciting worlds, which is about this Power Map. How many of you like Power Map demos? So it's not only about demos, though. You can actually use it. You create your BI stories inside of Power Map. And, of course, I should have marked myself as Do Not Disturb. Which I'm really sorry about that. So here we go. Ignore, sorry about that. So here we are. And now inside of Power Map, in Power Map, what you can do is you can visualize all this data. Literally, here's a scene I have created. Hey, how's my hardware versus software sales doing? And you can superimpose other scenes. And I may only have two more minutes to go, probably, so I'm going to just hurry. So I'm just going to go into a Power Map tour that we have created. Think of it as an export from Power Map, and literally you can actually open this with Windows Media Player, for example, and here we are. So what am I showing you so far is action, right? It's showing you the opportunities that we have for hardware and software. Very simple. We are making gaming. How many of you play Xbox? Yes? Okay, cool. So you have hardware and software. Gaming console is hardware. Software is like Halo and other games. So how are our sales all over the world in opportunities, not sales, opportunities only. Where are the opportunities? Now we're going to drill down and really see what kind of games do we have, action games, family games, and the hardware that we have. So we're drilling down. Now, wait a minute. We want to show revenue from SAP data that we have. So now we are showing the revenue from SAP data, and here we are. The darker circles means more revenue. Lighter circles means less revenue. So where do you think we should focus? More opportunities, less revenue? Agreed? Yes? So we're going to focus on that, and let's see what can we do. We need some other information. We're not doing good in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, for some reason. We have opportunities. We just don't have enough sales. So we really want to find that summer data set I talked to you about, which was about tweets. So here's a heat map. So obviously all of us sell products and buy products. Then this tweet, the tweet and Twitter analytics showing you how are people thinking about our products. So imagine these darker circles are more negative. It's all negative tweets. I'm only showing you negative stuff. By the way, data has been masked, so it's not really about Xbox or anything. It's just a scenario. So the thing is, Xbox is all positive, beautiful. What we're looking at here is how are people saying about darker tweets, like more negative sentiment here versus here, right? And you can go across the globe, of course, to UK and in France. Let's see what's happening over there. There we go. Well, not much negativity happening there. SAP is in France as well. So then we come back here, and we have in Fort Lauderdale something is happening here. You see this negative sentiment? So there is something interesting we need to investigate. To investigate this, let me take you to my best part of the demo. Aaron, hopefully it will. So this is the Power BI. Whatever I showed you so far was just an Excel file. Publish it to Power BI, and there you have something called Q&A. It's magical. So here I am, my demo for this, I'm simply going to ask questions. So the questions are, number of opportunities I have, and of course it's smart enough to really say, hey, what question you may be asking by country. Okay, what did I do wrong? Let's see, if I can refresh this page, I'm gonna go to Q&A again. Again, number of opportunities. Opportunities by country. Okay, so this question is by product subcategory. My fault. You see this? It's starting to show you subcategory. Number of opportunities by product subcategory. Okay, we have the questions here. So then what I want to see is, really, really see this by essentially my number of negative tweets that I have. There we go. This was the answer. So it's all about synonyms. You can create synonyms in Q&A, and really, it depends on what you type. You'll see this. We're saying, hey, number of opportunities by action games versus this. But I also want to see negative tweets. Negative tweets, So I can say show negative tweets to me. So now you're looking at negative tweets that are coming from all over the place, and you could actually read. You can actually read the negative tweet that you have here, right? So that's the thing. And then also we can say count of negative tweets. This is my last part of the demo. By product subcategory, maybe? Product. Sorry, I'm typing all this, but I just wanted to show you that actually typing works. Category in Fort Lauderdale, if I could do that. Let's see. This is the last part, right?
Test,
Yes, exactly. This is the last piece. I really hope it is going to work. Yes, you can see this. That I have lots of negative tweets about game console and action games. After further investigation, we found out in Fort Lauderdale, for some reason, there were some counterfeit hardware consoles and software being sold in some of the retail stores. So people were tweeting, hey, this thing doesn't work. The software is bad, or this thing is good. But you see, that's the demo scenario. So that's with that. This is my demo. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Okay. I think the spike that we saw in Vancouver was my son playing Minecraft on Xbox. Yeah. He's a huge fan.
Exactly. So the preview is available today for download on powerbi.com.
And you can also check it out at the SAP booth. So we're in the hall, booth numbers, I think it's up there. The booth number 1724, I believe. Come into the hall, hang a left, and you'll find us right there, and you can see it for yourself.
But we're not done yet. There's more to tell the story, and I've got Chris up here to finish it off. Here you go, Chris.
Thank you, guys. So that's fantastic stuff, and two things struck me as I was sitting there watching it. One, I've been involved in the SAP Microsoft world for 17 years. I don't know if that's impressive or depressing, but either way, we can have a drink later and talk about it. But the number of customers that I've talked to, like if you have business objects and you want to do Microsoft BI with it, that's the number one conversation I've had in the last 10 years, is how do we make these worlds come together? And so it's really great stuff. So thank you to the team for your work, and thank you for the demo. And I know, as Terry said, it's only going to get better from there. We're going to continue to work on it. But that's not all, as Aaron said. So what we saw is on the left side, really that OLAP world, right? How do we take that online analytical data and bring it together? But there's still a huge amount of data in the transaction and the processing side, right? So the OLTP. And how do we get access to that SAP data in a standard, seamless, secure way? Customers have been asking this for a long time, and I know there are many different ways to go at it, but today we want to share some exciting news or insight into how Microsoft and SAP are going to tackle this opportunity. So with that, I'd like to bring up our next two speakers. It's Rob Leffert. He's the Director PM of Office Apps at Microsoft, and Pascal Gilbert, who is the GM of the Gateway Consumption Tool business at SAP. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Chris.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, everyone. So first of all, I want to thank Chris, because for the first time in the last 10 years, this is the first time that he doesn't butcher my name. So thank you for that. Usually he calls me Gilbert, so that's good that he called me Gilbert today. So my name is Pascal Gilbert, and as Chris mentioned, I'm heading up a development organization at SAP responsible for gateway consumption tools. And a big chunk of what we do in this organization is how do we consume SAP data, transaction, and business processes into the world of Microsoft channels. And today with me, Rob, maybe you're going to introduce yourself.
Sure, thank you. Rob Lefferts, as Chris said, I'm the Director of Program Management for Apps. And so my role here is actually driving the extensibility model for Office and Office 365, client servers, and services. And so as Chris was describing, one of the most important things for us is making sure that those experiences that we're lighting up and helping partners to light up really connect end users to the critical business data that they care about. And so I'm very excited about this partnership.
Thank you. So before we start, I need to find the right button to move the slide.
And I'm just glad Pascal's talking to the next slide.
So before we start, I apologize. This is SAP policy. Today we're going to talk about products and offerings that are already in market, so there's no issue with it. But we also want to share some, give you a sneak preview on some planned innovation that we have as well with Microsoft. And hence the reason we have to put this little disclaimer, because it's just a plan innovation in the roadmap. Okay? But let's not worry about that right now. I want to talk with Rob, I want to talk about how to put data transaction business process into the world of Microsoft. So let me start with a story, the day in life of a end user. I have been an end user for many, many years, obviously, like many of you in the room. And boy, the world has changed. The world has changed. And depending on the time of the day, not only I have to use different set of tools and business productivity applications coming from the world of Microsoft or others, okay, but also now I have a new way of working with on device, the device out there with the new Surface, the Windows 8, Windows Phone, and so on. And depending on the time of the day, very often I find myself having to use a different user interface or use a different device as well. I can be sitting at my desk, doing emails, doing workflow application, workflow approvals directly from the Outlook or SharePoint. Or I can be on the road and I may have to look up something very quickly or approve a workflow on the phone. What's very interesting for me when I look at this world that we're in today and looking at the world of Microsoft, which has probably one of the richest set of channels, productivity tools, and technologies to consume data and expose data. You have some examples here. When I look at all these tools that Microsoft has available today, very often I find myself in the need of exposing SAP data into those tools. How many times do I have, using Outlook or using Word or using PowerPoint or Excel or what have you, I have the need to use SAP? Very often I have scenarios like that in my life, same thing on my phone and so on. So the problematic of, you know, how do we make it easy for you to consume SAP data, business processes and transactions into the world of Microsoft is something that is real. And it's something that is not new. And this is something that many of you have been tackling over the years. In fact, this is something that SAP and Microsoft have been tackling over the years quite a bit. And I want to talk about a few of the... I think we have the wrong slide. Okay, that's the one. So I want to talk to you about, over the years, how what we have seen at SAP, how customers use SAP with the world of Microsoft. And we started this journey together, Microsoft and SAP, several years ago with a product called Duet Enterprise. How many of you have heard of Duet Enterprise? Quite a few, okay? I'm actually glad. I have seen it. So Duet Enterprise was a fantastic collaboration between SAP and Microsoft. And what we did together back in the days was to make it super easy for you to consume SAP data, business processes, and transaction into SharePoint. So we bake security for you. You didn't have to worry about security. You didn't have to worry about single sign-on. You didn't have to worry about enterprise readiness functionalities and so on. We delivered a set of out-of-the-box web parts and so on for you to integrate easily the world of SAP into the world of SharePoint. And Duet Enterprise has been very successful. We have hundreds of joint customers that have been using it and are still using it today. And we are very proud of this joint offering that we had in market for quite some time now. And then recently, actually last year, with the announcements of Windows 8 and a new Surface and Windows Phone 8 and so on, SAP got really excited about those new technologies, and we wanted to get our feet wet to really understand those technologies, and I think it's Chris Voss that mentioned that earlier on. We have built a set of mobile applications that expose SAP data, business processes, and transaction into Windows Phone 8 channels. Okay, we have something like 12 of those applications available, and we are going to continue to release new applications for the Microsoft mobile platform. Then very recently, and this is something that you probably, many of you probably never heard of, we released back in December 2013 a new offering called SAP Gateway Productivity Accelerator for Microsoft. We have a fantastic marketing team at SAP. I mean, they got some great names. So we like this product. We call it Gateway PAM. So you're going to hear me call it Gateway PAM because it's so much easier than SAP NetWeaver Gateway Productivity Accelerator for Microsoft. So Gateway PAM is a new offering. And this product is the core of the presentation today. This is what I'm going to talk about to present to you what it is, what we have been planning to do, what we have implemented in this product. And then we will finish up this presentation by talking about some really cool stuff, and Rob will take over at that time to talk about how we work together with Microsoft to extend the concept of Gateway PAM for the world of Microsoft Cloud, Azure, and Office 365. So we're going to talk about that as well. So without further ado, I want to talk to you about Gateway PAM, which is something that I'm really excited about. So Gateway PAM is something that we really designed very carefully, jointly with Microsoft, talking to many of our joint customers and partners to really understand what they were looking for when it comes to surfacing up SAP data, processes, and transactions into any Microsoft channel. And we learned quite a few. And what came, we talked to different persona, different type of roles within the enterprise. We talked to the business users, we talked to the IT personnel, we talked to developers to really understand the requirements. And what came up was very interesting. And I'm going to pitch you the story, tell you the story, what they told us and what we basically have implemented in Gateway PAM. At a very high level, there are three buckets of things that came from you, the customers and the partners. Three buckets of things. The first thing that came loud and clear was something that is already available today in Duet Enterprise, but you ask us to take that concept, generalize it, and extend it to other Microsoft productivity tools and technologies. And that concept is interop, and more specifically, security, single sign-on. Customers and partners are loud and clear on this one. They love the fact that with Duet today, they don't have to worry about how to map the SAP security system with the Microsoft security system. But they don't have to worry about single sign-on. Everything is baked and done for you. So this is one thing that was very loud and clear. Another bucket of things that we heard from pretty much everybody, of course expressed in different words and language, was enterprise readiness. Customers loved in a Duet product, but they didn't have to worry about scalability. They didn't have to worry about supportability. They didn't have to worry about manageability. Everything was done for you and integrated into SAP Solution Manager, for example. And they ask us in this new world that we do provide similar things. And last but not least, and that was something that came very clearly from the developers, was around templates, quick start. They love an Duet Enterprise. We provide out-of-the-box functionalities or templates, web parts, that you could just use and drop and customize. So the customers ask us to do the same thing in this new offering, which is Gateway PAM. So let me talk first about the business users. The business users' requirements were very clear. What they were asking us was the need to seamlessly and easily and quickly access to SAP data in any Microsoft user interface. And more specifically, when I say any, I think the winners obviously were Office. That was something that came loud and clear, and more specifically in Office, it was all about Outlook and Excel. And secondly, SharePoint. But we were also very surprised to see the demand for other Microsoft channels, okay? So the business users, they ask us to surface up, to consume, to be able to consume, to connect to SAP data into any kind of Microsoft technologies or Microsoft business productivity tools. They want to have application, they want to be engaged with those applications. And when we asked them to define engage, it was a lot around contextual insight. They didn't want to have to do the swivel chair process where to find information to complete a business process, they had to go in another system. They clearly said, we want contextual insight within the application. We want to be engaged. That's the kind of things that we heard from the business users. They want, of course, the application to be secure. They want, of course, the data to be reliable. They want, of course, the data to be live. They don't want to have this kind of Mickey Mouse or workaround, should I say, that we have seen in the past, where people were extracting the data from the SAP system and dropping it into a SQL Server set of tables and so on and do some magic things. So they said, no, the data have to be live. We don't want to be asynchronous. Okay? So we heard a lot of that from the business users. The next big persona that was critical for us was the developers. What do you want as a developer when we talk about how to consume SAP data and business processes into the world of Microsoft? What do you think was the first thing? I don't want to see SAP. Let me qualify that. I don't want to see SAP in a sense. I don't want to learn SAP. I'm a .NET developer. I know nothing about SAP. Don't even try to make me learn SAP ABAP Workbench. Don't even try to make me learn NetWeaver. Don't even try to make me learn ABAP and so on. I'm a .NET developer. I don't want to know SAP. That was the first requirements. So let's go down into what that means. It means that first, from a development environment and programming language, it was clear. Visual Studio is a tool. So with Gateway PAM, what we're delivering is basically add-ons to Visual Studio. So our development environment is just a set of add-ons into Visual Studio for you to develop your solution. Okay? So that was one clear thing that we heard. Visual Studio needs to be the number one priority. The second thing that we heard is no need for SAP knowledge. I don't want to know about SAP. In fact, what we want is that you expose to me via a catalog of some sort SAP services where I can pick the service that I want, the entities we need within the services, and do the mapping of the field, changing the field, and so on. So basically, complete transparency or opacity, should I say, when it comes to the SAP backend. Just expose to me an OData feed coming from SAP, but we do that with a product at SAP called SAP NetWeaver Gateway. Okay? Expose to me an OData feed. From this OData feed, I can select the entities that I want. I can connect very easily to that feed, and I can integrate very easily from that field. Okay? So that was the second big requirement that we heard. Complete opacity from the SAP backend. No need to learn the data structure, the data model, and so on. The third thing that we heard was around quick start development, and more specifically, templates. Once again, a lot of those customers are used to do an enterprise, and they ask us the same thing. And they say, what I want to integrate with Excel or Outlook, I don't want to have to code everything. So give me some quick start templates for me to build my solutions, a solution that integrates into Outlook or into Word or into Excel or what have you. Okay? So we do provide with Gateway PAM a set of out-of-the-box templates for you to quick start your Outlook development or Excel development or anything. Those templates, the beauty of the templates that we're delivering in Gateway PAM is that they generate C# code and they're completely customizable. So you can change everything if you don't like it, okay? You can enhance the template if you want to. Of course, you don't have to use a template if you don't want to. If you want to do everything from scratch, you're perfectly fine. You can also build everything from scratch. And last but not least, I'm coming back on the security. The developers were very clear. I mean, if I look at my case, when I was a young developer, 20-plus years ago, security was always something that was bugging me. And when I look at today, the world of security has dramatically increased in complexity. Okay? There's so many different protocols out there around security. As a developer, I don't want to be exposed to all these protocols. All I want is I want base authentication. Okay? And then, regardless, depending on you know which company I'm working for, through some configuration, I can switch to SAML or X509 or Kerberos, you name it. Okay? So that's one of the things that we provide with Gateway PAM. All you have to do as a developer is base authentication, which is an API where you just provide a username and password, and then when the application is mature enough, Okay? You have to change in a config file a basic authentication to SAML or X509 or what have you. Okay? You don't have to worry about security. You don't have to worry about single sign-on. Everything is baked for you. So at a very high level, this is what we are providing with Gateway PAM for the developers. Okay, the baked security and so on. What's very interesting is that when I look at Gateway PAM, once again, we have been in market for just a few months. We released the product back in October, November timeframe, 2013. And we are already seeing a very nice pickup from partners, SIs and ISVs. And we have several partners, and I'm very excited personally as an SAP guy to see Microsoft shops, Microsoft partners that knows nothing about SAP, starting to build solutions that consume SAP into a Microsoft product or technology. Okay, so that's something that is pretty amazing to watch, but they don't need to know SAP to build this kind of solution. Furthermore, we're starting to see a bunch of ISVs, developers, that have baked this kind of plumbing in the past. They have baked their own security system and everything. And it's very interesting to watch that they are actually removing all the interop, all the plumbing, all the infrastructure, and replace with Gateway PAM, because it's done for them, for the developers. Let me move on to the third category, which is IT. IT, as we all know, and you heard it from Jane and Aaron earlier on, IT is a critical player in any kind of enterprise. They are responsible for all the corporate requirements around security, around policies, around standards, you name it. And when it comes to SAP IT folks, they're usually all grumpy people. No, I'm just kidding. But what they don't like the .NET applications. And the reason why they don't like the .NET applications is because very often an SAP system needs to be super secured. And they don't like .NET applications because very often those applications are not secured out of the box, or they don't scale, or so, what have you. So there's a lot of things that were kind of bugging them when they see an ISV or an SI trying to consume SAP, and they were kind of complaining about it. With Gateway PAM, once again, the security is completely baked for you, so you don't have to worry about it. IT department love it because it's standardized. There's no issue. Another thing that they love with Gateway PAM is that all the log files that we generate from the Gateway PAM applications built by the developers are completely compatible with SAP Solution Manager. It makes it very easy for an SAP IT admin to monitor and support a Gateway PAM applications. In fact, they have complete end-to-end tracing. They can look from the client to the network to the SAP backend system all the way down to the database. They can have a look at that, and it's already baked. You don't have to worry about it. The developers don't have to worry about it. It's taken care for you. They love, you know, the group policies of configuration of the Gateway PAM applications that can be managed centrally as well. And the list goes on and on and on when it comes to the IT department related to Gateway PAM. A lot of things that are baked for you in Gateway PAM and you don't have to worry about. Let me talk about a couple of examples. Let me spend a couple of minutes on examples of what the kind of application that you can build with Gateway PAM. I'm just going to get a little bit of water. So the first one that I want to talk about is Outlook. I did mention to you that with Gateway PAM, we do provide templates for developers to build Outlook-based solutions that consume SAP data and business processes. So at a very high level, we provide several templates for you to make it super easy to build any kind of scenarios that has things to do related to the Outlook contacts. We make it super easy to integrate SAP workflows into Outlook, and you can approve them right from within Outlook. You can also see all the business insight, contextual insight, before you approve a workflow. In fact, the notification for the workflow is not just what we provide with Gateway PAM. One of a nice scenario or template that we have as well is that all workflow, SAP workflows, translate into a task in Outlook if you want to. So you can take a workflow and expose it as a task in Outlook, and so on. So we have calendar scenarios, contact scenarios, task scenarios, workflow scenarios. All of that can be done from within Outlook. The next one, which is also very interesting for me, is Excel. So you heard about Excel at length earlier on, more from the analytics standpoint. But there's a lot of scenarios related to Microsoft and SAP, which is not just about analytics, but also about mass update, business transactions. So we see a lot of scenarios around Excel to consume, to expose SAP data into Excel and to update those data from Excel, okay? Which is fantastic. The scenario provides some very cool features out of the box. For example, we do all the conflicts resolution. If someone is changing a record in an SAP system, Excel will take care of that for you and will let you know that you cannot change a record. Data types validation is already baked as well in the Excel scenario. In fact, we have our first customer, which is a large customer account at SAP, that actually tried a prototype and built a solution using Gateway PAM, and it was an Excel scenario. It was a very small project. They had a 2 weeks time frame to do this project, which was, you know, mass update of POs, process orders, into Excel. And it was a small project of 2 weeks. In fact, after 3 days, everything was up and running. And as you can see here, they were very pleased that they didn't have to worry about security, they didn't have to worry about single sign-on, and everything that I've already mentioned before. Okay? So to sum it up, what we have been trying to do with Gateway PAM is to expose any kind of SAP data and transaction into any kind of Microsoft channel, productivity tools, or technologies. We really want to provide a simplified interaction with SAP data and the processes, okay, because we all know that it's super easy to do it in SAP UI. We want to make sure that you can leverage the user interface that you know, which is the world of Microsoft. And last but not least, with Gateway PAM, we want to provide access work from anywhere. And talking about access work from anywhere, there's some really cool stuff that we are planning and working on with Microsoft related to that. And I'm going to hand over to you, Rob.
Thank you, Pascal. In the interest of time, I'm going to do this super fast. And if you bear with me, the setup is that apparently I have this great job selling super expensive cars. And because I am one of these guys where my superpower is about sales and communication, I don't want to spend a lot of time in complicated UI. And I especially want to make sure I always have the right and up-to-date inventory. So I love that my company has provided me with Office 365 as a place to do my work. And I especially love that the list I'm looking at showing up inside of a SharePoint app, which is actually hosted on Azure, is directly connected to data coming from SAP. Well, I probably don't think about that much very much. I just think about the fact that it always works and always shows me the right information. This is a cool way that we are showing the pieces all coming together. Visual Studio, building cloud business apps, Office apps as a way to consume open standards, and Gateway PAM, as we were just talking about, as a tool for expressing OData off of the Gateway server, and the coming future piece is around OAuth, connecting that all together and really tying it in seamlessly. So the things that I can do inside of this application are a lot of the things that you might expect. So I can sort and I can pivot. Degree of difficulty, I forgot to mention the SAP server is actually sitting in Israel, and I think we got the Azure server on the East Coast, and we're here doing a demo. But the point of the cloud is that that all works. And one of the things that's happening here is when I type in a query, I type in Bradley because I want my fancy cars are called Bradleys. When the results came back, that's actually going all the way back to the SAP server, running a query against the entire inventory and pulling back the result set that I might want to look at. And again, I can do the sort pivot stuff you might expect. A lot of this UI was built for me automatically by Visual Studio as part of the cloud business apps, and it has a bunch of cool features and capabilities. So the point of what's going on now is there's images coming up. And those images actually live in a SharePoint picture library, and they're getting sewn together with data coming from my SAP database and then presented together in the client using HTML and JavaScript, and I can get pictures of what these cars might look like. And when I click on one, I can get full details about this car. And even more important than that, I can connect that to other capabilities coming from Office 365. So down at the bottom, we've got a contact card, and I can use that. That's my picture, by the way. I'm a very handsome man. If this were a full Office 365 system, I could see presence, I could use Link and IM, I could connect to this person. The thing that I might want to do, because I'm selling cars, is start to send mail to my suppliers about these cars. And the place that I like to do that, of course, is Outlook. And I, again, to Pascal's point, don't want to leave this tool in order to get things done. So I'm gonna send a mail. That's how I think about doing my work. And when I find a car that I want to send mail about, the easy way to do it is to use this Compose app hosted directly inside Outlook. Here I'm showing it in Outlook Web Access. It would work just as well if I were sitting inside the rich client. In fact, it would be the identical experience, and it is doing exactly the same thing of connecting to my app running in Azure, pulling information from SAP through the connector service. And so I can pick off the cars that I'm really interested in talking to this guy about. And that's cool because it could do all kinds of fancy things like put in the two and the CC and the images. But it's actually paired together with another app that runs on the flip side, which is when I get a mail, there's another app for Office that does the Contoso Motors viewer. So whenever I get a mail asking about stock, and it knew it was stock because it looked for those expressions, it actually again connects to that same central service, pulls up the hosted information about the car, shows me the image online, and I can flip around and look at my different cars. This is just a hint of that picture that Pascal was showing with a whole world of Microsoft applications connected to that data from SAP. I'm showing it to you in SharePoint and Outlook. Later on, you'll be able to see it on Thursday inside of a Windows phone, inside of Windows apps, and you can do the same thing everywhere that apps for Office run. So that's what we think about when we think about connecting that power of SAP to the whole world of Microsoft.
Can you switch back? Can you switch back?
Oh, yeah. And I'll go back to the slides, too.
Okay, I think we're done. Chris, it's you.
Thank you, guys. We were going to do a Q&A. Obviously, we're out of time, but all of the presenters will be up here. I think there's some fantastic stuff that we showed today about the BI interoperability, the Gateway PAM, and how we're bringing together the transactional processes through the Microsoft user experience. So we're skipping the Q&A. I will reinforce, booth 1724, if you want to learn more in the next couple of days, please stop by there. There's some URLs where we'll be updating with the new information as it comes out in the coming months. And then lastly, the party. So Hackathon, which my trusted resources tell me is the coolest club in Las Vegas. I'm not super cool, so I haven't been there yet, but I'm looking forward to it tonight. There are wristbands as you walk out the back. If you want to go to this party, I recommend you get one of these fancy yellow flashing wristbands. We have some awesome entertainment tonight. Michael Wastman, who's been at a couple of our SAP Microsoft parties in the past, a great show. So I want to thank everybody for coming. Please stop by the party, help us celebrate our 20-year anniversary. And for everybody that did the demos and the presentation, thank you very much, and thank you all for coming.